From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome into this Monday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio here starting the week leading into Ole Miss and Liberty, 11 a.m. on Saturday from Vaught-Hemingway Stadium. The Rebels coming off their 31-20 loss to Auburn on the Plains Saturday night. We'll do final thoughts from the weekend. Look ahead to Liberty a little bit. Today's not Hugh Freeze Day. We'll have a Hugh Freeze Day sometime this week, but that is not today. Look ahead to lines, to games this weekend, a little bit of NFL. We usually do more NFL on Tuesday, but we'll touch that as well this morning. Hope all of you had a wonderful Halloween. Kids got plenty of candy, trick-or-treating, that kind of thing, and we will probably touch on that a little bit today, too. So anyway, that and more coming up on the show. Brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West in Oxford. We're still giving away football helmets. To do that, you need to head on over to the Blue Sky there on Highway 6. Take a selfie anywhere on the property. You need to hashtag Blue Sky Rebels, tag Oxford Exxon, and you'll be automatically entered into a chance to win. So take advantage of the opportunity to win an official Ole Miss football helmet. And again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what Ford product you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours, right to the bottom line. No hassle, no haggle. You get your quote. The rest is up to you. You can shop that quote around, or you can do what I've done, what I recommend that you do. Let's hop into a Clark Ford today, 662-257-1900. Guests join us on the Rafters Music and Food Hotline. Rafters Music and Food on the square in Oxford. Check out Rafters, great burgers, po' boys, appetizers, great beer selection, full bar, the whole deal there at Rafters Music and Food on the square in Oxford and also in New Albany.
Did you have trick-or-treaters last night?
Yeah, we had a good many trick-or-treaters. They stopped pretty early. It was like done at 7, which was interesting. Usually they'd 8:30, you still had stragglers. Not last night.
Yeah, that was the challenge a little bit from standpoint of a 5-year-old trying to get in bed and then not knowing for sure how many extra trick-or-treaters will be coming in beyond that point last night. But yeah, there was same thing. It was a few I saw lingering around the street and whatever into the close to the 8 o'clock hour, a little around there. But I felt like it started earlier last night. I felt like there was even a push around 4:15, 4:30, something like that yesterday. I mean, it was the little kids got out early out there yesterday.
Yeah, I saw people talking about 5 o'clock, and I was like,
the light didn't go in.
No, we're not answering the door at 5. There's like a window from 5:30 to 7:30 that's kind of like
that's the 2 hour sweet
spot. I think so.
Okay. Do you give out only the good candy? Nothing but Reese's and Almond Joys?
And
that kind of thing.
We only give out good candy.
No swill around here?
Nope. Okay. Nope. By the end, we were basically out. We were throwing in
staplers and
bags of Chips Ahoy and stuff.
Were you really?
That has been sitting in the pantry forever
that
Carson won't eat.
Yeah.
Carson's very meticulous about what he eats.
Uh-huh.
And so Laura has this pantry full of junk in there, so we were giving
away. So you had to go into your personal stash.
We gave away a lot of the junk, but it was good. We needed to get rid of the junk.
Okay. So it was people helping people. It worked out for everybody. It was real for the course.
And by the end, it was like, here, just take what you want.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, let's see. Halloween picks. Where do you want to start? What do you want to do? Weekend? What do you want to do?
Up to you.
Yeah. 10 thoughts is up. I have snap counts up a little. Basically, as soon as the show was over, as well. Woke up kind of dragging this morning, so didn't get to it. But I guess I'm not going to recap all the 10 thoughts. It's there. It's there if you would like to see it. I do feel like a little bit, just kind of closing the book on it, that there's a little bit of misinterpretation, because I feel like on the show Saturday night, I feel like in 10 thoughts as well, with the officiating thing, just to kill it, is that
people are people. They are humans. And I don't know that anybody disagrees with the fact that there is bias from an inherent standpoint because of either fandom or anyone lives anywhere or literally the mood inside a stadium or any other 25 factors in that. And that probably goes for any officiating on any level whatsoever. Does the conference office, does where the officials are from play into that? I have no clue. But I do feel like by saying that there's not an SEC-level conspiracy, that is not necessarily – that is not us saying at all that certain officials might not have inherent biases in a number of directions.
Sure. I just get really careful when people start going down the game is fixed road. It's a hell of an accusation when you make it, when anyone makes it. And when you have any kind of a platform, and we have the smallest level of platform humanly possible to still have a platform, you just can't say it. I won't say it. I don't have any proof of anything like that. And in fact, having covered the league for as long as I have, I don't think it exists. Are there officials who get intimidated by crowds? Sure. Are there officials who probably don't belong at that level? Sure. Does the league have a – does college football, beyond just the league? I talked to a lot of people yesterday morning. I made a bunch of calls. I'm like, hey, am I missing something here? And it's, no, this is everywhere. This is everywhere. They've moved in the SEC alone. They've moved two or three of the top officials off the field and into the offices, into supervising capacity. And what's been left in the wake is inferior officiating. They missed a lot of calls. They miss a lot of calls in a lot of games. Right now, the consensus is that the Pac-12 may have the worst officiating in the country. The Big Ten may have the best. The Big Ten calls a very tight game, calls it consistently tight. The SEC has this year tried to let things go. That's the consensus among coaches and people who are kind of watching, and that has led to some games getting out of control. The Big Ten has a reputation for keeping games under control from an officiating standpoint. The Pac-12 has lost control of a lot of games, is what a lot of people who watch this kind of thing feel like. But yeah, I mean, I don't.
So how do you fix that there is some level of evidence that a couple teams get tons more calls than other teams?
I don't know. I don't know. And to do that, to call it evidence, you'd have to really do a researched study. You'd have to watch every single game, start to finish, break them down, who got calls, who didn't get a call, what call was missed. That would be a really comprehensive study. I mean, you could do it. You'd have to have some people that did it with you who really understood the game, probably better than people like you and I understand.
Well,
it.
Sure.
But you could do it.
But do you think it's anecdotal based off emotion, or do you think there's something
yes,
to it?
I do.
So you don't think Auburn technically gets more calls?
I can't say that. Because if you said to me, can you back that up empirically?
No, I just mean think, though.
Yeah, I know, but if you said, can you back that up empirically, I can't. I can't. And so when you get away from the emotion, if you will, of the game, and someone goes, so are you saying Auburn gets more calls?
Or not even more, whatever the...
But
you know what I mean?
But,
like,
but my answer would be, well, my gut kind of tells me that they kind of do. But if you told me, can you back that up with anything? The answer is no. I'd have to be able to go find some people who were willing to sit down and take all 14 SEC teams and dig through a season. And frankly, it might be an endeavor worth doing to go through a season, go through every play that Missouri played. What were the calls that were missed? How many calls got missed? Okay. How many were benefited Missouri? How many were to the detriment of Missouri? Okay, we've done Missouri. Now let's do Tennessee. 14 games. Let's look at them. How many calls were missed in Tennessee games?
Yeah, sure.
How many of those calls benefited Tennessee? How many of those calls were to the detriment of Tennessee? And then at the end of that endeavor, you would have data. You'd have one season's worth of data. Now, if you really wanted to do it where it made sense, you'd go back at least 5 years. and you do 5 years of Arkansas football games. Okay, we looked at these 60.
Take the SEC games, though, but I mean,
we looked at these. Yeah, okay, well, fine. We looked at these 40 SEC football games that Arkansas played over the last 5 years. In those games, 206 calls were missed. 113 benefited Arkansas, 90 whatever didn't. And you'd have to compare it. So I think at the end of all of that, you would have some data. Otherwise, I think it comes across, and this is why people make fun of it, it comes across as whining. And without being able to back, because here's the deal, is if you can produce data that shows that, let's take Ole Miss and Auburn out of it, you shows data that goes Florida really gets calls.
Mm-hmm.
And South Carolina really gets screwed. Well, then you have to dig in and go, why?
Yeah, sure.
Who called the Florida games? Who called the South Carolina games? What did it lead to? Because at that point, you either have something that needs to be corrected, or maybe you have someone involved that, like there was people that talked yesterday about, well, maybe it's an affit, maybe it's one or two people on that field are influencing games. Are they doing it? Is the allegation that they're doing it for financial benefit? Is the allegation that they're doing it to protect their business interest? Or is the allegation that they're just giant fans out there fixing games on the fly on their own as, for lack of a better word, rebels?
Sure.
That's a hell of a lot to dig into.
And frankly, a time and a manpower that makes it almost impossible unless you've had some sort of really, really bad committee to do that. And there's a couple different things. I mean, I see it in the thing. It's right. I mean, Ole Miss is healthy. They play well. They probably win the football game.
Yes.
But at the same time, just taking this exact game out of it from an officiating standpoint, as a fan of maybe the worst NFL call in history from the standpoint of what it meant to a team with the Saints and the Rams, I despise the argument of, had you just played better, that wouldn't have mattered. Because, I mean,
sure.
Hey, well, if I blow every team out, I'll never lose a game. I mean, that's dumb. That makes no sense in any stretch of the imagination.
But, like, I was in here watching working on 10 Thoughts. I was watching Bengals-Jets.
Mm-hmm. The crap call on Mike Hilton.
And the call on Mike Hilton where he gets called for
targeting because the other guy put his head down.
Yeah, in the NFL they call it unnecessary roughness.
Right, but yeah, whatever.
But it was essentially a targeting call. And the running back for the Jets lowered his head into Hilton's path, and so they collided. The tackle was made. It was a third down. The Bengals were going to use their last time out.
Mm-hmm.
The Jets were going to punt, and the Bengals were going to try to drive without the benefit of a timeout and score in a game that the Bengals had let get away. It was a terrible call. I kept thinking, is there no way to review this? Is there no? And the answer is no.
Yeah.
And so you, at that moment, you have to go, okay, did an official miss a call? Did an official intentionally miss a call? And the answer is, I just think they miss. I mean, I talked to a lot of people yesterday who said, you got to remember, as the guys get faster and the guys get stronger and the guys get bigger and the field stays the same, and they're always, especially at the college level, you're always officiating a game of 19, 20, 21-year-olds, basically. They stay the same. The officials get older. And as tempo teams get in, one guy said, I think if you dug in, you would find that more calls are missed in games involving tempo teams because they simply can't keep up.
Yeah, and I said it's more for the podcast. I don't necessarily disagree. I guess my point, though, is it's not even necessarily missed calls. It's whether or not, right or wrong, they go in a single direction. And just based off logic, again, we can't prove it. I don't know. I mean, so whatever. But if it's not true at all, well, then Pythagorean says that we're about to see a hell of a reversal and that Auburn should be screwed in three or four games coming up over the next two seasons. And if that doesn't happen, then that feels like, well, I mean, logic says if something evens out over time, if it doesn't, you know what I mean? Just in my head from an anecdotal standpoint of trying to go, well, I mean,
let's go down that road.
Yeah, sure.
So let's go down that road. So let's operate under the premise that, for the sake of a discussion, and for the Auburn fans in the thread, that's not what I'm saying here, but for this thing, you have to go down a premise.
Yeah, grind, just chill for a minute.
The hypothesis is, okay, this is the hypothesis, is that something untoward happened on Saturday night. So now you have to dig into what that possibly could be.
It's two things. It's something potentially untoward, Also, it's based off the last 2 years, with potentially four games being directly impacted on an outcome standpoint.
So we're talking about Auburn, Arkansas, and Auburn, Ole Miss.
Yeah, correct.
Okay.
Which is a weird two games, but sure.
But let's just stick with Saturday night. Just for one, for the sake of this, let's go with one game.
Even though that's not the whole picture, right, because if it was just a literally one game, you go, okay, whatever, blah, 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 blah.
But last year, it was really one play that we're talking about.
But that's always what it technically could be.
But last night, we're talking about, Saturday night, we're talking about a bunch of plays.
Yeah.
The game in Oxford last year, we're talking about one
play. I guess my point is it's back to the kind of the shoeless Joe Jackson thing. Just because he got a hit in a game doesn't mean that he wasn't throwing a game.
No, of course. But if you're saying, if someone's, quote, throwing the game, fixing the game, you've got to say, okay, well, did it happen at the league level? That's the first thing you have to ask.
And I don't buy that at all.
I would die on this hill.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
Because, frankly, the amount of money that would be at risk if you got caught at the league level fixing a game is so staggering, so overwhelming, that no one would do it. And then, like I wrote in 10 Thoughts, if you were to go down the argument of the SEC's going to fix the Ole Miss-Auburn game, they would have fixed it in the favor of Ole Miss. If you were to, I promise you, go into that building last week and say,
oh, the league would rather Ole Miss had won the game.
Who would you like to win? For a number of reasons, from the Heisman to playoff possibilities to sheer pettiness, they would have picked Ole Miss. Brian Harsin is not the most popular person in the building there in Birmingham.
No, and Lane's good for the SEC.
And Lane was, like I wrote, Ole Miss was a feel-good story in July when everybody got vaccinated.
Yeah,
sure. Like, woo, remember national news?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, and the league has been, whether they feel it deep down personally or not, and I'm told that most of them actually don't,
sure.
The league's been pretty damn woke on the vaccine.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So Harsin going against the vaccine has pissed the league off. And that's how they view it. As like, what are you doing? Just get the shot. Shut up.
Sure.
Just get everybody to get the shot. Let's make this go away. We're almost through this season. Everybody's making money. We don't need this headline. So we eliminate the league at this point. So now you have to get into individual officials. So at that point, you've got to really dig into individual guys. Where are they from? What is their motivation? What is their history? Would it be worth the risk? Because I don't think one person could go out there as kind of this renegade and do it without even people on his own crew going, hey, man, what's up with Tom? What are you doing? I don't buy that. Now, I've never officiated a game. Maybe it's possible to do that. But it just sort of strikes me as, And then you dive into individual calls. And were there calls missed? Absolutely. But I've heard different explanations for a lot of things, like the spot. I had a couple people tell me yesterday the screw-up was the line judgment, the linesman – marked it in one place, they actually got the spot correct.
Yeah, there was a technical reason for that one.
Yeah.
Right, wrong, indifferent, whatever.
The pass interference call. One guy's like, yeah, it's a bad call, but don't grab him in the end zone where it's an easy call to make. The official's not watching the ball. The official's watching the play. There was Springer held him on a play where if he just doesn't touch him, it's incomplete. And I'm not defending the call. I'm just saying at some point you start talking about each individual call, and over the course of time it's like, okay, well, maybe that's – I see. Yeah, I get. You know what I mean? I mean, it's like the call on the first drive, the block in the back. I saw a block in the back. Everyone saw a block in the back. But that kind of call on a quarterback scrambling around on a broken play – a lot of times doesn't get called. I watched the NFL yesterday. There were calls like that didn't get called. It just, on wild scrambles, a lot of stuff happens that doesn't get called.
Yeah. There's a couple things to it. A, it was a lot of 50-50 calls, questionable calls, whatever adjective you want to put on it yesterday. And it also was going into the game. Everybody went, oh, God, look what always happened. So there's an extra eye on it. There's extra reasons for all this stuff. I mean, frankly, a couple of the more egregious ones were not even the ones we talked about. I mean, Nick Brooker gets called for holding on that play when he pancaked the guy. He literally did not hold him at all. Casey Kelly was interfered with going across the middle of the field on the drive there that would have given first down and whatever. You know, it was an accumulation of a ton of calls. If you told me that, and again, I don't even really know what I'm saying, but if you told me something was weird with it, I do think it would have to be at the individual official level to some degree. Now, what that means, what that looks like, hell, I don't know. Again, I've never officiated the game. I don't know your capabilities on your assignments, on what you look for to know what you would have the jurisdiction to do. And frankly, in a lot of ways, it was one or two guys. I think there's probably some inherent bias on the team that, frankly, is traditionally more popular and supposed to win, potentially, with some dudes even.
I think a stadium can influence stuff. A stadium, it's... Jordan Hare is loud at night. I've used the word special at night. Jordan Hare's different at night. It's loud. I've seen Auburn win a lot of football games at night at that stadium when the crowd influences games. And if you tell me that the crowd influences officiating to some degree, I buy it. I'm not even pushing back. I'm just going to be the guy that's frankly very honest about it. I just don't feel comfortable making that allegation without having some degree of empirical evidence, and I don't feel like I have.
And it's more of just a smell test thing. It's more of when I watch the game, I've watched the number of these Auburn games, you watch it and you go, I don't know exactly what's happened, but something is weird to me when the calls in one direction all have to have that fine-tooth explanation on, hey, here's why it might have sort of been okay, or that guy could have missed it. And it when it goes in one way, it's like, okay, well, sure, but... That's kind of where I'm at. I don't know. I don't even really know what I think.
Well, the first two drives, you had two questionable plays, and that leads to a lot of, okay, here we go.
You're watching it the rest
of
the
way. And now you're all emotional, and you're watching it the rest of the way. And my simple point, and it's going, people get mad, and that's cool. I get it. I've long said, and days like Saturday, I'm going to be honest, convince me, this is a job for fans. This is a job for fans. It's the reason why there are a lot of people that are lifetime fans that have done these sites for 30 years and they do great. It's a job for fans. I don't believe, watching that game, that the reason that Ole Miss lost the football game was officiating. I don't. I went back and I watched it again and I don't. When Dontario Drummond went out of that game in the second quarter with the game not decided yet, when Dontario Drummond left that game, Ole Miss's offense became incredibly predictable.
Sure.
It wasn't anybody's fault. Not Lane Kiffin's fault. Not Jeff Lebby's fault. But Auburn at that point knows, if we stop the run and we don't think Corral's going to run much, if we stop the run and we squeeze it in and we pack the box, there's not a lot they can do. They don't have anybody that can beat us. It's why a couple of times Jakur Pearson beat them. They were giving Ole Miss that. And in the red zone, when everything got compressed, Ole Miss wasn't very good.
No, they weren't.
And it's because they didn't have a receiver.
Well, yeah, they're out of – I mean, they're
and
down
so
the
it's,
shot.
And so it's personnel. And in the first half, for whatever reason, it's one of the questions I kind of have today, and it's been asked of Lane, but he really didn't answer. He just said they tackled better. And maybe that's it. In the first half, they didn't play the run very well. Auburn ran the football with a great degree of success in the first half. It's how they put 28 points on the board.
Sure.
And then the other thing that Ole Miss did, and there were a couple of big moments in that game, when Robertson muffs the punt and you get the ball right there, essentially the 20, I can't remember exactly where the ball
was. Around there.
You got to get points.
Sure.
You got to get points. And Ole Miss got no points.
Yeah.
When Chance Campbell recovers the fumble at basically midfield,
mm-hmm.
You got to get points. You got to take turnovers and turn turnovers into points. When you have the football 4th and 7 at the Auburn 13, that's a – when you roll the dice there and say, we're going for it, it's a real gamble.
Yeah.
He left points on the board. Like I would have liked to have seen what would have happened if you kicked the field goal right there and make it 28-23 and you go, okay – Auburn, you guys kind of have a reputation with this quarterback of bad decisions. Make a bad one here, and you're going to lose a football game.
Yeah.
And I would have liked to have seen that pressure put on them. But when you don't, and you give them a, okay, we're up 8. So worst case scenario here, we commit an egregious mistake. They score and get 2, and we're tied.
Yeah.
And that is a different mindset in the way that you call offense, in the way that you play offense, when you know, hey, we've got this buffer.
And I think it's a couple different things. I think, look, there, I don't think there's any disputing. Auburn played a better football game than Ole Miss on Saturday night, period. They play, were cleaner on both sides of the ball over the course of four quarters on both sides. It was not the only reason Ole Miss didn't lose the football game. It wasn't the majority of the reason Ole Miss lost the football game. I think my only pushback is if you do, maybe you need favorable calls. Maybe it's not even 50-50. But if that game's 3-3 after the first two drives, that creates a whole different element the rest of that football game.
Sure.
So it's a swing that, I mean, and now look, I'm not saying, oh, well, look, there's your 11 points, because that's dumb, because the game plays out a multitude of different reasons from that point.
Right.
But any score there earlier, any kind of stop, does give a and allows a bit of a different tempo or a mood to play out the rest of the game.
And there was a play that we didn't talk about much throughout the game. On Auburn's second touchdown, right before they scored, Bigsby fumbles. The ball's on the ground. You didn't recover a fumble. And I'm not criticizing, but there's a play where in a split second, reminded me a little bit of the 2016 Alabama Ole Miss game.
It just sat on the field.
Where the ball was just sitting on the field for a second.
Yeah.
The ball sat on the field at about the 2-yard line the other night for a split second, where I think the only person in the world who knew that there was a fumble was the guy who had fumbled. And I think he's who recovered. I'm 99% sure.
Mm-hmm.
Recover that fumble and it's a different deal. I mean, football games are always that way. But at the end of the day, to me, the key thing was in the second quarter when Drummond went out. They had no offense to go to. It was Jakur Pearson, Casey Kelly. You're having to play a lot of John Rhys Plumlee. And when you go back and watch the replay of that game, you realize Plumlee, how many snaps did he play? Do you know?
I'll look it up while you're talking.
Plumlee played a lot more snaps than he normally plays. And in some ways, you could tell they were out there almost winging it a little bit.
They were.
Offensively. They were running guys on plays and in situations that I'm sure they had practiced, but I doubt they had practiced extensively. They did not appear to have had.
Those were not personnel packages they were comfortable with.
That was not stuff that they went in going, okay, well, here's the plan on 3rd and 6. We're going to run this package with Pearson and Jaden Jackson and John Rhys Plumlee. That was never in this is the ideal situation. I think they were hoping that Braylon would be able to help contribute more than he did.
And 47.
To me, that's like one of the stats of the game. If you were to like highlight stats,
47.
The fact that Plumlee played 47 snaps at wide receiver,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to in the past, he's been playing about 10.
Right.
It's a massive number. Ole Miss played how many snaps total?
80-ish. It was 85.
85 snaps. You got probably 30 out of Dontario before he went out.
36.
You got maybe 5 out of Braylon. It was completely
four.
Completely.
In one of those, he was hobbled throwing the ball or whatever.
Completely ineffective.
Hudson Wolf did play on Saturday.
Yeah. I mean, and that tells you a lot because I think 2 weeks ago they were ready to hang him up for the year.
Yeah.
Now he's having to play.
Yeah.
So you've got guys that you're just scrambling. I mean, Casey Kelly played a ton of football. Jakur Pearson played a ton of football. Danis had to come in and play a good bit. Jaden Jackson played a lot of football. There were a lot of guys that were out there that's just not part of your offense.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, as you get into November, that's kind of becoming the big question mark is if you don't have wide receivers, what can you do offensively?
I mean, frankly, even spinning into this week a little bit. So I don't know. Yeah, to close it, I mean, I think – I don't know that we really have a ton of different opinion. I think they easily could have overcome it more than it was a non-factor to much of a degree. But nonetheless,
so Pete says here, and he's right.
Yeah,
Ole Miss got to the red zone 8 times.
Yeah,
so you get to the red zone 8 times and you score 20 points.
Yeah, yeah. And he kind of comes back. Like I said, it's more just podcast fodder, but it's kind of the same point, though. Well, if you'd maximized every opportunity, you would have won the game.
Well,
anyway.
Sure.
I mean, it's kind of like.
But I guess my point is when you go, it was just officiated.
Well, no, I don't believe that at all.
Right.
That's nowhere near.
But that was a pretty big narrative yesterday morning, is that the officials robbed Ole Miss of the football game. The officials did it. And so at that point, you have to say, okay, are you alleging that it was intentional? And a lot of people were. And when I push back on that, when you say it's intentional, when you say it's intentional, that they did it with intent, it's a hell of an accusation. Because that accusation gets to the very fabric of the competition.
Yeah.
If you say that the outcome was rigged by the officials in a premeditated manner.
Right.
It's a hell of an accusation. And when people make that accusation and they go, I want you to make that accusation, I say, I can't do that. I do that, number one, I don't believe it. Number two, if I do it, that's the end of my career from any standpoint of being objective. I would be unhirable anywhere. Hell, I might already be after spending 13 years in this industry. But you would be you'd be shot. You'd be done. When you make that accusation, boy, you better really be able to back it up, or you better be willing to say, hey, this is all I'm ever going to do for the rest of my life.
Yeah. And there's levels below that. Okay. We'll get into the week here in a minute. We're at Impact Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Seto County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. So you're getting local underwriting and understand your market. A leader in condo financing, the float down option, and more. You can find Jason at 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
We're also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, Grenada Nissan's the place to go. They've got a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles, great lease deals as well. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Brought to you by Joey Erickson, Heron Gear Autoplex. Let him help you find the vehicle you're looking for at a price you can afford. Choose from a full selection of new Chevrolet, BMW, Lexus, and Infiniti, or get a great deal on numerous brands of reliable pre-owned vehicles. Give Joey a call or text on his cell at 662-571-2367. Tell him what you're looking for. Stop by 1685 High Street in Jackson. Let him earn your business. It's still time to sign up for Oxford Park Commission basketball. They've opened registration for the 2022 youth season. Leagues are open for ages 7 to 15. The cost to play is just $50 per participant. The season begins January 3rd. It runs through February the 24th. Games are played on Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday at night with no more than two games in a week for teams. Go to oxfordparkcommission.com to sign up your son or daughter today. We're also brought to you by The Rogue. I'll be visiting with Chance Campbell later today. That visit is brought to you by The Rogue. It's your destination for fine men's clothing. Their stylist hand-select pieces from top designers, from work to lifestyle to nightlife. It's the perfect something for everyone at The Rogue. All the best items from Peter Millar, Martin Dingman, Jack Victor, Halsey, True Grit, and more. 4450 I-55 North in Jackson or therogue.com. Again, that will be up later this afternoon. Talk to Chance around 1:30. Try to have that to you about 3:30, 4 o'clock. Also brought to you by Alpha Specialties, 1670 Highway 80 in Pearl, Mississippi. It's your trailer-specific professional. If you want to haul it, they can call it at Alpha. It's the premium trailer dealership in Mississippi. It's the highest quality. They've got Load Trail, the highest quality utility, equipment, dump, and gooseneck trailer being built today. They also have Hallmark cargo trailers, one of the most quality cargo trailers on the market, perfect for hauling goods to markets and shows, ATVs to deer camps, hauling race cars, and more. They also can repair all types of trailers, concession, horse, utility, enclosed, gooseneck, RV, and more. 601-932-9798 or alphaofms.com. And we're brought to you by Service Specialist with offices in Ridgeland, Canton, Jackson, and Oxford. Service Specialist has been connecting candidates and employers as the since 1967 as the oldest staffing company in Mississippi. Whether you're a new college grad or a seasoned professional, whether you're in engineering, dentistry, accounting, law, manufacturing, human resources, or more, get in touch with Service Specialist. They're always looking for candidates that have potential and want to learn and get their foot in the door. And they always know of candidates who kind of keeping things quiet. Maybe they're looking to relocate to Mississippi, or they're looking to change jobs, but they want to keep things confidential for obvious reasons. Service Specialist knows of them, so if you're a prospective employer, you need to get in touch with them as well. There are no referral fees for those searching for a job, so you have nothing to lose. Call Service Specialist at 662-832-5138 or go to servicespecialistltd.com.
You can also get a jump start on your holiday shopping this Sunday. Oxford's Holiday Open House. Join for special holiday shopping. Gift ideas galore. Kids' holiday crafts. Special giveaways. A grand holiday gift basket raffle. Music. hot chocolate cookies, and plenty more as well. That's November 7th from 11 to 3 on the square, 1 to 5 at various other shopping areas around town as well. It's brought to you by the Oxford Lafayette County Chamber of Commerce. So the day after Liberty, get out, get some holiday shopping done, get ahead of schedule with the open house. Again, 11 to 3 on the square, 1 to 5 around town. Plenty of different things go along with that. So visit OxfordMS.com. And this is brought to you by, again, the Oxford Lafayette County Chamber of Commerce. So let's get lines a little bit for the week. I had that up somewhere. Let me find it. Or I had it up. I closed that for something else. There we go. I saw we get Georgia, Missouri this week. That'll get the butts in the seats.
38-point
line. Yeah, I know. That's what I noticed.
38 points.
My God. All right, looking at it, that is the first SEC game. That one is coming up at 11 o'clock on Saturday. Yeah, it opened at 38, but don't worry. Hey, there's some money coming in on Missouri. That baby's down to 37 now, 37 and a half, depending on your favorite line. You actually can get it anywhere from 37 to 38 and a half right now, depending on your sports book, if you'd like to steal a thing. Just kind of curious, what are they predicting score-wise on this? Yeah, I will take the under. They've got Missouri scoring 17 points. I do not see that. I don't see how Missouri scores 17.
Watching Florida try to score against Georgia was painful.
If you'd like to bet $100 on Missouri to win the game, and they win the game, you win $45,000.
I'm not sure if these two teams played 45,000 times that Missouri would win once. I mean, that's $100 that you could do so many other things with.
You have to bet $15,000 on Georgia to win $100.
I mean,
you just want to get $100. I mean,
if you just want to make a free $100,
and you got $15 laying around,
yeah, I mean, go for it.
It's safe.
Oh, I mean, not going to lose.
Let's see.
The interesting story with Florida,
yeah,
and it's November, and I think he's okay, but it's getting antsy in Gainesville. I think Dan's okay. Here's where the Dan Mullen story is about to get interesting. James Franklin's leaving.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's going to USC. I don't know if he's going to LSU, but James Franklin's leaving.
Yep.
Penn State's going to open up. I think it's Luke Fickell's job if he wants it.
Makes sense.
There are people who say it's not the job Luke Fickell wants.
What's Luke want?
Well, because Luke Fickell wants two particular jobs. He wants the Ohio State job for obvious reasons, and he wants the Notre Dame job.
Yeah.
And if Brian Kelly walked away from Notre Dame, Luke Fickell would have the job before Brian Kelly got out of the building. But no one thinks Brian Kelly's walking away anytime soon. Why would you fire Brian Kelly? He's got Notre Dame playing at a really high level.
They're in the conversation every year right now.
It's a very respectable program. They're winning a lot of games. They're in the conversation. They get great TV ratings. The fans are happy. Everybody likes Brian Kelly. Brian Kelly's making a ton of money. Why would Brian Kelly walk away? So if you're Luke Fickell, you say, okay, well, do I roll the dice here? Because I'm winning big at Cincinnati. No one's firing me at Cincinnati. I'm making a bunch of money at Cincinnati, and I'm guessing, having been to Cincinnati a few times, that if you make a lot of money and you get to live in the nice parts, suburbs, it's okay. Yeah. Not a bad deal. He plays in a decent league, but his team's usually one of the best two or three teams in that league. Luke Fickell's not going away. He could roll the dice and stay at Cincinnati for a couple of years. You know, Billy Napier gets criticized, but Billy Napier has a nice gig at ULL. No one's going to fire Billy Napier. He's making seven figures to live in Lafayette. And having been to Lafayette, again, if you can make $3 million a year living in Lafayette, Louisiana, it's probably a pretty comfortable lifestyle. So those are the questions. So if Fickell said, you know what, that's not the job I want. I'm going to bet on myself here. Luke Fickell's still a young guy. He says, I'm going to bet on myself. I like Cincinnati. I don't want to go to Penn State. How high up is Dan Mullen on Penn State's B list? And a lot of people think he might be at the top of it.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And so that's where you start watching the carousel. That's why when people go, well, what do you think about quarterbacks? I got to see what happens with the carousel. What do you think about in recruit? I got to see what happens with the carousel because it's going to turn in about 4 weeks. It's going to start. Everybody's going to get on their seat. They're going to get on the dragon or the lion or the tiger or the flamingo, and they're going to turn it. And it's going to spin really fast. And when it slows back down, not everybody who was on the flamingo is still going to be on the flamingo. There's going to be some carnage. And I don't know what happens. Like, so if And no, I'm not talking about Kiffin.
Yeah, yeah.
But if Mullen leaves Florida, who are the names on that job list? And that's where you go, I don't know. I have no idea which way Scott Strickland would start searching. But Scott Strickland's got to be honest with himself at Florida. Georgia has not only passed you, Georgia has lapped you and lapped you again, mm-hmm. and is leaving you in the dust. That was not a competitive football game on Saturday. And the SEC wants that game at 2:30 on CBS every year for a lot of logistical reasons.
But they need it to be competitive.
CBS might go, you know, we don't do this anymore.
Yeah.
And when ESPN takes over, they might say, you know, we're not going to lock into that. It's not.
Well, and ESPN doesn't have to.
Well, because there were other games at 2:30 on Saturday that were far more attractive than that game.
Yeah, sure. Get to Florida coming up a little more.
And Mark makes a great point. See, on this line, this is where all this stuff is really interesting to me. He says if Luke Fickell stays at Cincinnati, barring an opening at Notre Dame, he thinks it's because he's been told that Ryan Day is going to the NFL within a year or two. And it could be. And if Luke Fickell says, I can stay here for two more years and then get the Ohio State job, or I can go to Penn State today, he might say, you know what, I'm going to stay at Cincy.
Yeah, sure.
He's got Cincy number two in the country right now. Is it total BS? Of course it is. But there is a number.
But if somebody said they're getting in, I'm not going to go, oh, God, I'll bet my life against it. They have a shot at getting in
right
the playoff.
Right now, they have a real shot. Today?
They're getting the right movement.
Well, look, I mean, if you assume that Georgia's going to beat Alabama in the SEC title game, and I do, Alabama's not getting in. Yeah. So the SEC's getting one team in, Georgia.
Three spots left.
So you got Georgia, presumably the Big Ten champ.
Oklahoma right now.
And probably Oklahoma. And then right now it'd be Cincinnati.
Yeah, I think so.
They would be the fourth. Yeah. I think when the rankings come out this week, they're going to be in the top four.
Yeah. Very possible. Ohio State and Michigan are playing a play-in game.
And so if you're Luke Fickell, you look at that and you go, there is no reason for me to panic.
Yeah.
Because if he takes Cincinnati to the playoff, mm-hmm. even if next year they fall down to 10-2, sure. his star is still really bright.
Oh, of course. 11 o'clock, Liberty and Ole Miss, the Flames and the Rebels. Hugh Freeze making his return to Vaught Hemingway Stadium since State dropped the double nickel on him back in 2016. This line opened at 14. It fell almost immediately to 10. It is currently sitting 9.5 or 10, depending on your book. I will say this. I mean, look, Ole Miss is going to win the football game. Ole Miss is going to win the football game without fourth quarter issues. However, they're so damn banged up right now that mm-hmm. it's no longer a joke of a game. They're going to have to play and play well. This game is – they are not going to lose, but this game is losable for
sure.
Ole Miss this weekend.
Sure.
Because on offense, I just don't know what's out there. I don't know what they have from a depth standpoint that's there. You know, you look at – there were two seasons that were very critical for Ole Miss in a building standpoint that they had to stay healthy. And they did both times. That was last year, frankly,
yep.
in Kiffin's first year, mm-hmm. even though it was a pandemic year, in 2012. In mm-hmm. 2012, they had to stay healthy. They played five offensive linemen the whole damn season, and they all five stayed healthy. Well, kind of like back to that thing with Auburn and outcomes and whatnot. At some point, it bites you. It comes back the other way. Things average, and they work themselves out. This year is the workout time for Ole Miss because they have gotten ravaged by injuries in a lot of different bad spots. And it's created a situation that has killed what their ceiling on this team was. It was a bad year from that standpoint for it to happen. But it makes this week at least interesting. You know, I think it's a game that Ole Miss is probably up 14 points in the fourth quarter, and you sort of see where it goes, something like that. I mean,
I joked about it, but I did watch a lot of the ULM Liberty game here on my trusty little computer. Liberty's not particularly good against the run.
No.
The kid for UMass ran for 160-something yards Saturday. You got to line up. They're gonna. If I'm Liberty, I stack the box. I try to take the run away. I don't think they can take the run away. I think the people who have been clamoring for Snoop Connor to get 25 carries, I think Saturday's your day. I think the people like me who've been waiting to see Henry Parrish break a run or two, I think Saturday's your day. This is frankly the game where you got to look at Jerrion Ealy and go, what is your deal? Because they're going to stack the box, and we're going to get you the ball, and we need you to get outside. And then when they stack the box too much, you can – Jakur Pearson would play at Liberty.
Yeah.
Casey Kelly would play at Liberty.
Casey Kelly is actually a really good SEC tight end.
This is a game – yeah, he really is. Dennis Jackson needs to step up. A lot of people – I think they're going to be okay. And then defensively, I think Ole Miss is going to be able to handle Liberty because it's Malik Willis and a bunch of dudes.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Don't let him run around like crazy and you're fine.
There's no Tank Bigsby in the Liberty backfield. No. There's no what's the receiver for Arkansas?
Trent Burks.
Yeah, there's no Burks at wide out for Liberty. There's nobody who just goes and who can beat you in a bunch of one-on-ones. But Hugh will have a good plan. His team's good. They've lost 2 3-point games this year. They lost by 3 to Syracuse. They lost by 3 to ULM. Their list of wins is not impressive. They've not beaten anybody worth a damn. It's North Texas, UAB.
No, they played nobody.
This will be a big step up for them from a talent standpoint. And defensively, I think Ole Miss, based on what they've done the last 3 weeks, I think they're going to be able to slam the door on them to a degree. But I think the people who are expecting some 40-point win, I don't really think that's a realistic thing. And if you're Ole Miss, quite frankly, you just got to win the game and get the hell out of there because you've got, as of today, an incredibly big challenge coming your way in 2 weeks with Penn State, A&M. With Texas A&M.
Yeah.
A&M's got to play Auburn this weekend. That's going to be a real physical game. Both of those teams are going to try to run at each other, all that stuff. So maybe you catch A&M a little banged up. You've got to figure out a way to get healthy here in the next – couple of weeks, because if you can't get some bodies back, I don't know how you beat A&M.
Yeah.
And frankly, if you can't get some bodies back, that Egg Bowl gets really tenuous.
Oh, hell no. Yeah.
Really tenuous.
I will text Hugh today. I do not anticipate him agreeing to the parameters of the interview, but I will ask simply to tell you guys that I ask. But yeah. I do not anticipate it.
Hugh wants to do a Sunshine interview. And I think that's disingenuous. Feel free to disagree in the thread. I just think it's disingenuous. I mean, I think you can talk about the good things, but I think if you're going to talk to Hugh, you got to talk about the bad.
Well, and it's kind of one of those things too, where it's one thing to even kind of focus on a topic because I'm choosing to focus on the topic. It's another thing to go, hey, here are the rules of the interview.
Right.
That's a whole different. Yeah. The fact that you can't even have an organic conversation that might lead somewhere else or have some questions that just kind of venture off because it's the flow of the conversation, that's what bothers me about it. What was the final in Notre Dame and North Carolina Saturday night?
It's 10, Notre Dame by 10.
Okay, good.
44-34, I think.
Okay. Let's see. Ohio State, 15 over Nebraska this week. The Gophers, who have put a good season together, they're 2.5, 2 touchdown favorites over Illinois at home. They're actually all up in the middle of that division race. They're on the other side of the Big Ten. Speaking of ULM, they're getting 3.5 from Texas State in San Marcos this weekend. Scrolling down. Auburn and Texas A&M, it's your 2:30 game on CBS. The Aggies opened as a 5-point favorite. They're now a 4.5-point favorite against the Tigers in College Station. I don't know yet.
I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't decided what I'm doing there yet. A&M is very schizophrenic. Thought Auburn, for the most part, played pretty well on Saturday.
Auburn's played really well for a few weeks in a row, but so has A&M.
Yeah.
I mean, A&M lined up and beat Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
For the people that try to make it fluky, if you watched it, it wasn't fluky. In fact, Alabama, one of their scores came on a blocked punt. Wasn't fluky. A&M won the game at the line of scrimmage.
Mm-hmm.
This will be a kind of a slobber knocker of a game at the line of scrimmage, I think.
Yeah. It'll be fun. I'm looking forward to 2:30 on Saturday. Cincinnati, speaking of, 22.5 at home against Tulsa in that one. Notre Dame, 20.5 at home against Navy. A couple teams there. Notre Dame with one loss. I'm not going to screw that up anymore. They lost to Cincinnati. Michigan State coming off their win. This line's not very big. Kind of maybe a trap game for Michigan State. I don't think so, but interesting enough, they're coming off the win over Michigan, 37-34. They're in West Lafayette, Indiana, and they are giving 3 points to Purdue.
Interesting.
Yeah, just 3 at Purdue on Saturday.
The running back, Walker, did you realize he's from Memphis?
I did, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's a hell of a runner.
Yeah, he had a day.
He had a real day, too. I watched a lot of that game.
Yeah. I got pretty glued into it in the second half. It was kind of, frankly, to the point I needed to do a couple things, and I put them off to stay with it.
People make fun of Big Ten football. That was
a good game.
That was a really good football game.
It was the best game of the day.
Yeah, that was
for sure.
Really good game.
Penn State at Maryland. Penn State 10.5 at College Park on Saturday.
It's going to be a weird week for Franklin. Franklin's about to have a bunch of weird weeks.
Yeah. Wisconsin's at Rutgers. Wisconsin coming off its win over Iowa. 12 points favorite there over Rutgers and Piscataway.
Wisconsin looks like they put it all together.
If you told me they won that division and actually even made a little bit of a game out of the other thing, I would buy that. NC State, Florida State. Florida State losing to Clemson last weekend and it being maybe one of the worst bad beats of all time in Vegas. The hook and ladder turns into a touchdown for Clemson to win by 10. The line was 9 or 9.5, depending on your favorite book.
Brutal.
There. It was
brutal.
I meant to ask Jeffrey about it because he had a great reaction on air while they were doing their show during that. He had the Seminoles.
He kept saying, "What's the score?" And I kept saying out loud, "You lost." That was brutal.
Yeah.
Forget the betting part of it. Clemson, the shine man, is gone.
Oh, they were a bad football team on Saturday.
I mean, Florida State's a bad football team, a poorly coached.
And they kind of handled that game for 55 minutes.
Yeah, and Florida State had a real shot to win.
Yeah.
And if you're Clemson, that's scary, man.
Yeah. We'll finish in a second. First, tell you about Northeast Spark, NESPARC. Two packages, the Ignite 100 Mbps or the Blaze, the one gig that powers the Clark Ford Studio. Your hometown team bringing you world-class broadband. That's NESpark.com. 662-238-3159. Phone service is available, parental controls, network security, wireless mesh extender, and much more. So to get the best internet around, again, that's NESpark.com, 662-238-3159.
Whitney McNutt of Tommy Morgan Incorporated Realtors sponsors my mailbag. You can reach her for all of your real estate needs in Oxford and Tupelo. She sells condos, land, commercial, and residential family homes. 662-567-2573 or 662-842-3844. I need to check with Hudson to see if this is still the case. So before you head out that way, you might want to call or something. OPA scheduled to open tonight, 306 South Lamar, just south of the Square Courthouse next to the Old Soulshine. It's the newest restaurant on the historic square. Delicious menu featuring gyros, wraps, kebabs, fresh redfish, lamb chops, and more. An awesome bar serving your favorite handcrafted cocktails, frozen libations, and amazing candlelit patio as well. Again, that's OPA. 306 South Lamar in Oxford. We're also brought to you by John Edwards, Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. If you're thinking about traveling, holidays are basically here. If you're thinking about next summer, get in touch with John. Give him some parameters, give him a budget, and he'll give you options. It's 901-494-3387 or jedwards@regencytravel.net. First-time clients can save $50 off their first booked trip just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast. We're also brought to you by Pinnacle. It's mypinwealth.com, mypinnwealth.com. Get in touch with those guys, and they'll sit down with you. And regardless of your level of wealth, they'll listen to your goals, they'll study your expenses, and they'll put forth a comprehensive, detailed financial and retirement plan built just for you. Again, mypinwealth.com. Brought to you by the College Corner. It's a one-stop Rebel Shop, two locations in the Jackson area. In Ridgeland, it's next to Fleet Feet. In Flowood, it's next to Half Shell. If you don't live in Jackson, it's okay. Go to collegecornerstore.com. Plus, you can find them on Facebook and Instagram. Whether you're tailgating in Oxford or homegating with friends and family, the College Corner has you covered for game day. The largest selection of Rebel gear in central Mississippi. Thinking about your heating system's going to start getting cold at night. I think the temperatures Friday night here is in the low 30s. You're going to be running that heating system. You better make sure it's ready to go. Get in touch with the people at Comer Heating and Air, Southern Air Conditioning and Heating. Different names, same great products and services. If you live in Oxford, Tupelo, or the surrounding area, call Comer 662-801-1777. If you live in Hernando, Memphis, or the surrounding area, call 662-429-4429.
Support for the Oxford Exxon podcast also brought to you by Manscaped, the best in men's below the waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped just launched their fourth generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with an exclusive offer for you. That's 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code MPW at manscaped.com. One of the first people to try the new 4.0, and I'm blown away by the performance. The craftsmanship and details are next level. Manscaped engineered the ultimate groin and body trimmer by focusing on intelligent functionality and incredibly comfortable grooming experience. The fourth generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents. Thanks to their advanced skin safe technology, you can be confident in all those sensitive areas. The upgraded trimmer includes a multi-function on-off switch that can engage a travel lock. Gives you the ability to turn the 4000K LED spotlight on or off when needed for a more precise shave. Allows you to customize your trim through additional guard link sizes 1 through 4 and wireless charging. The new wireless charging system uses electromagnetic induction. It can help battery life last longer. It's time to get your own trimmer with Manscaped to make me time the best time and enhance your confidence there in that area. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code MPW at manscaped.com. That's 20% off. With free shipping at manscaped.com, use code MPW. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. Mississippi State, Arkansas in Fayetteville this weekend. The Hogs opened at 4. It's now at 5. This is danger
I've
alert
seen it at
for,
five
for the
and
Razorbacks.
A half. Yeah, I don't know. Arkansas had a weekend off. Really 2 weeks off because they played Pine Bluff the week before.
Mm-hmm.
So they ought to be kind of healed up a little bit. Ought to be fresh. Mentally, they ought to be over the disappointing losses to Ole Miss and Auburn. But Mississippi State's kind of looking a little different, if we're going to be all honest with ourselves here. I mean, if we're going to have kind of honest day.
They played well. They played really well through the night.
They played really well against Vanderbilt. They played really well against Kentucky. Now they got to take it on the road. Playing at Vanderbilt doesn't count.
Yeah.
Because that's playing in a
practice facility, essentially.
Playing like a jamboree.
Yeah, with your people.
Where you don't even advertise it.
Yeah.
We'll see. 3 o'clock. Going to be great weather. Huge game for Arkansas. Because if they're going to do anything from a bowl standpoint, it starts here. It's a big number. I don't know. I can't lay 5.5 points right now.
No, I can't either. If Arkansas pops something, that Arkansas just pops something, I think I'll take the L. Kind of where I'm at. I've not had a very good read on State all year. I got
then
it
you
on
go
Saturday,
back and you remember that last year it was Odom that had such a plan for the air raid or whatever we call Mississippi State's offense. I mean, they just shut them down a year ago. And Arkansas is better offensively than they were a year ago. But State's pretty good on
Rogers
defense.
Went, what, 37 of 40 or something like that?
He had a remarkably good game.
It was like 36 of 39, 37 of 40, something like that.
What I was impressed with State, and I had it on TV too in here, is they really punished Kentucky at the line of scrimmage all day. It was interesting.
Yeah, that was a shot of cold water for Kentucky on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
That maybe it's a little schedule influenced as much as anything else, where they were sitting there at 6-1 or whatever it was at the time. For some reason, this is your night game. It's going to be a blowout. The LSU Tigers are at the Alabama Crimson Tide on Saturday night. It opened at 24.5. It's now jumped to 28.5 is where this number is between the Tigers and the Tide from Tuscaloosa.
I was asked 2 weeks ago to give a line on this, and I said 25.5, and I felt really smart yesterday for a minute. And then the money
started trickling,
poured in on Alabama.
LSU
last week, whether – and Orgeron's not at a place now where there's any reason to lie.
Mm-hmm.
Had a couple of days where they basically didn't practice because they didn't have enough players to practice.
They're going to win one more game the rest of the year. They're going to beat ULM.
They're beat up. And so, you know, you get to a place – like this week, if Ole Miss had an open date this week and Lane Kiffin says, please,
yeah,
I don't know that they'd practice.
Because who's practicing?
I mean, you might pretend to practice because otherwise
you would do that thing that Houston used to do a lot, where you let all the scout teamers get tons of rep and almost kind of do a little bit of weird advanced self scouting on yourself.
Well, LSU typically along those lines. It's funny you say that. LSU typically on their open date will have, I think they call it the Tiger Bowl or something.
Yeah.
The scout teamers and guys that aren't playing have a scrimmage.
Yeah.
They didn't even have that.
They didn't even, yeah.
No bodies.
Yeah,
it's an issue.
I'm going to pick Alabama to cover. I'm going to lay them.
Oh, yeah.
Even at 28.
I mean, I don't know how you could.
The 24.5, and where I get to win by 4 would be a huge bet.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, I skipped this one. Speaking of Kentucky, coming off trying to lick their wounds, They are in Lexington against the Tennessee Volunteers. Kentucky opened as a 3.5-point favorite. That has fallen down to 2.5 or 3, depending on your book.
I've got it at 3.
Okay.
If this game were in Knoxville, this would be like lock of the week stuff.
You're still leaning toward Tennessee, aren't you?
I'm leaning.
Giving up on Kentucky after one game.
But I know what I saw.
Yeah.
The line of scrimmage was – but now Kentucky's much better at home.
They are.
And they're a good program. And you've seen teams go to state and lose. You know, I had that happen, and they kind of bounce back. I don't have a feel on this one at all.
Hardman, the bye this week is worse. You should have played Liberty in week 4 and had the bye this week.
Oh, yeah.
When you get to choose one or the other and you chose that direction is the problem.
Yeah. They'd be much better off with the Saturday off.
Taking the week.
Yes.
Let them be 7-2 or whatever they would be right now.
Because I don't think you would do anything today. You would have done nothing yesterday, nothing today. You might do a little bit Tuesday and a little bit Wednesday.
And that's it.
And you might get them to come to the facility
just
on Friday morning. But you wouldn't do anything to them. You wouldn't even think about putting pads on.
Mm.
And when I say pads, I mean shoulder pads.
Yeah, not even those little soft shell things.
Nothing.
Where you're just...
You would just kind of have some almost like...
cardio.
Hey, today we're going to do yoga. And if it hurts, don't.
Yeah.
Today we're going to do a nice light jog.
Yeah.
Unless you have an ankle issue, at which point we don't want you to do a light jog.
Yeah.
I mean, I just... Boy, that's why this whole week, it's just you get through it.
Yeah. Iowa coming off their loss to Wisconsin. They're in Evanston to play Northwestern this weekend. Iowa, a 12-point favorite against the Wildcat team. It's had a rough season.
Iowa's quarterback play is so bad right now that I don't know that you can lay 12 points.
Why did it get worse? What happened?
He's just worse.
As the year has moved on.
He's gotten worse. I mean, I'm hoping for his sake it's because like something's physically happening.
Mm-hmm.
But he looks mentally just fried.
Well, that's not a win.
They need to get in the transfer portal. Because if they had quarterback play, they'd
be pretty good.
They'd be all right.
Yeah.
He's going to get receivers killed, though. I mean, he has receivers running slants, and he's throwing behind them. I mean, literally, receivers.
Behind and up and over the middle are not the two places to miss.
He had receivers looking at him Saturday like, hey, you want to trade? They were. That was not a happy offense.
Yeah. Oregon still alive. They are -6.5 against Washington in Seattle this weekend. In the Big 12, Texas coming off their loss to Baylor. They are 7-point underdogs in Ames to Iowa State this weekend. That's a 6:30 start there in the Big 12. Same exact start time for Florida. They're on the road in Columbia, South Carolina. This line is too big for me the way Florida has been playing football. Florida opens at 17.5. It's now at 19. I know South Carolina sucks. I get it.
I've got it at 19.5.
Okay, well, thank you. But 19 is a huge number in Columbia.
But Carolina's really bad.
They suck.
They're really bad.
I mean, those bottom three teams. I mean, Missouri played with Vanderbilt.
Mullen's deal is he's doing the two quarterback thing, and if you play two quarterbacks, it's because you don't have one.
Is he doing it because he's trying to keep them both?
I guess.
Is he trying to satisfy Richardson?
I guess, but look, they're one. Like you lose to South Carolina, and we're having a completely different conversation about Dan Mullen.
Oh well,
I mean, the gamble here is 8-4, and Florida State at the end of the year won't be a gimme.
I mean, if they lose, it's over.
He's got South Carolina, Samford, Missouri, and Florida State. Anything shy of 4-0, there's questions to be asked.
Yeah. I still think I'm taking South Carolina. I know Florida's going to win the game, and I'm going to be a little frustrated by it, but this is back to those mental health things. I'm cool that way.
Which team plays harder?
Carolina. I mean, look, we don't think it's going to work, and we're beating up on him, but Beamer has had those son-of-a-guns play hard every week.
Yeah.
They've shown up.
Yeah.
I mean, they're doing it with a GA at quarterback and all kind of crap, and they're bad.
Yeah.
But they get there. Clemson, speaking of them from a little while ago, they're on the road at Louisville. They're a 3.5-point favorite at the Cardinals this weekend.
Tells me all I need to know about Clemson.
That's right there. Michigan will get back on the winning track. They are at home against Tom Allen and the Hoosiers, 19.5 in that one.
He needs to get out of there, doesn't he?
He does. Yeah.
He can't beat Michigan State and he can't beat Ohio State.
Yeah.
Well, those are the games they bring you there to win.
Yeah.
It's like being at Auburn and you can't beat
Georgia.
He's
done a nice job, but he can't win those two games.
At all. It's like being at Auburn and you don't beat Alabama and Georgia.
Yeah. It's cute, right? But
yeah. Hey, we beat Arkansas. It's not going to save your job.
No, I know. And then we wouldn't be on air anyway at this time, but your night games on Saturday night. One of the better stories in college football, UTSA has been rolling along. They're at UTEP, USC at Arizona State, and San Diego State at Hawaii are your night games in that one. San Jose State's at Nevada as well. So that's what's coming up this weekend from a line standpoint. They are back in the Grove. You're back in the Grove on Saturday. So check out Johnston Hill Creamery. Let them handle your tailgate. That's johnstonhillcreamery.com to find out all the current menus, catering and tailgate menus. They've got everything from cheese trays and our charcuterie boards to plenty of desserts and much more. Cheesecakes, pies, tarts, whatever you need to handle your tailgate, you can order that with just 24 hours notice at 662-419-9201. Or email cheese at johnstonhillcreamery.com. They deliver right there to your spot on campus for your tailgate. And then if you're already thinking about Thanksgiving, they've got Thanksgiving pre-orders available from Harvest charcuterie trays, Harvest artisanal cheese trays, pumpkin cheesecakes, buttermilk pie, and they'll add more as well. Pickup on that is November 24th, so you can call. You need to get that call in by November 19th at 5 p.m. Again, reserve anything for Thanksgiving as well, 662-419-9201.
We're also brought to you by Landman's. If you're thinking about holiday shopping at this point, might be a good time to get in touch with the people at Lamons, 1126 North Lamar Boulevard in Oxford. They've been serving Oxford for more than 73 years. Engagement rings, wedding rings, fine jewelry, everything. They have the gold standard in fine jewelry at Lamons. Lamonsjewelry.com or call 662-234-2777. Blue Delta Jeans is happy to announce the inaugural Coastal Cup Waterfowl Tournament hosted January the 19th through the 21st. At the Bay Flats Lounge on the San Antonio Lodge, not Lounge, on the San Antonio Bay of Texas. This competitive team duck hunting event will include 2 days of Texas coastal waterfowl hunting, meals, drinks, and lodging, and 2 pairs of custom jeans for every participant. Special guests of the event will include Josh Raggio of Raggio Custom Calls, Barton Ramsey of Southern Oak Kennels. You've heard us talk for years about Blue Delta's annual golf tournament. Now it's time for the duck hunters to show their skills. For information on the event or to register your team, contact Blake Kuchenauer at blake@bluedeltajeans.com or visit their website, bluedeltajeans.com/coastalcup. Pinpoint Commercial Real Estate is based out of Jackson. They service the entire state and all commercial asset classes, such as retail, office, industrial, and land. Sam Cox, B.B. Mitchell are Ole Miss grads. They utilize their unique skill sets to execute on assignments and increase value for their clients. Some of the properties include places like the Village at Madison, 60,000 square feet of Class A restaurant, retail, medical, and professional office space, along with roughly 75-0 lot line residences, with Pinpoint handling the leasing for the commercial portion of the development. Give them a call at 601-586-3220 to learn more. We're also brought to you by ACS. It's owned by Clay McNutt, Baldwin, Mississippi. Established in 2013, ACS is a complete electrical control system solution provider and a Rockwell Automation recognized system integrator. They have a full-time dedicated emergency service and troubleshooting staff and a UL508A panel shop that can custom tailor software packages, custom design electrical control panel solutions, and so much more. It's ACSLLCMS.com or call 662-601-4381. Also brought to you by our friends at Game Changer. I heard a lot of people talking about Game Changer over the weekend. They are absolutely a game changer. It's the only two-patch system available in the market to stop hangovers before they start. The warm-up patch is used before or while you drink. The overtime patch is used after you've been drinking to recover while you sleep. The all-natural ingredients will keep you in the game, ready for your next play. It's GameChangerPatch.com. Enter promo code REBELGROVE20 at checkout for 20% off your order. Also brought to you by Dead Soxy, best socks you'll ever put on your feet. DeadSoxy.com. They've got the no-shows. They've got the traditional socks, all sorts of styles, colors, themes. It's all there at deadsoxy.com. Promo code RebelGrove at checkout for 25% off your order. Same promo code at muddywateroutdoors.com. The people at Muddy Water Camo will give you 35% off when you enter the promo code RebelGrove at checkout. They've got lots of new products on the site. You get free shipping on $100 or more in terms of orders. Lots of jackets, the vest, the heated jackets and vest. Also, the new Muddy Water Lady Camo apparel is available to you as well. Talked a lot about Bro Throw on Friday and Saturday. It's brought to you by, it's a social sports network. Free to use. It's really cool, fun way to bet. No third party. No juice. Over time, that saves you money. It's bet.brothrow.com/MPW. We'll have the the MPW Digital pregame show on. It'll be brought to you by sometime late Thursday, probably. Brought to you by Walk-On's Sports Bistro. They put everything they've got into bringing you game day with the taste of Louisiana. Dig into their mouth-watering Louisiana cuisine like gumbo, po' boys, voodoo shrimp. Plus fan favorites like juicy burgers, fresh salads, quality fresh ingredients you can't help but crave. Just a couple of weeks now, 1737B University Avenue in Oxford, and they're open today in Ridgeland, 720 Highland Colony Parkway, Walk-On's Sports Bistro, more than a restaurant.
Podcast is brought to you by Nick's Tan & Associates. That's nickstanoxford.com. You can call 662-281-1200 for all your real estate needs. Clay DeWeese, O'Keefe Graham, their experienced, dedicated team, bring decades of combined experience in the Oxford area. Their website makes it easy to view and compare your options for a new home. Clay also serves Oxford and Ole Miss in the Mississippi Legislature as state representative for House District 12. So let Nick's Tan & Associates in Oxford help you with either side of the real estate buying process. And mention Rebel Grove when you contact them. Again, nickstanoxford.com, 662-281-1200. Podcast also brought to you by G&M Pharmacy and Tyson Drugs. G&M right there on South Lamar in Oxford, 662-236-2222. They deliver locally in the Oxford area. They take care of you with MedSync for your prescriptions the same day each month, and it lets you get one trip to the pharmacy, one delivery, and have everything you need when you need it with your local pharmacy. So again, 662-236-2222. Baseball headed back to Houston. Astros win game 5 last night. Two bullpen games in a row, just too much for the Braves. That was the game Charlie Morton would have started had he been available. And if the Braves happened to blow this and lose the 3-1 lead, that Morton injury, when you know you'd have been up 4-0 early with Morton on the mound, totally different ballgame right there. Duvall hits the big grand slam. And
Duvall hits a grand slam, and sometime rounding second base, he thought, I will be a legend forever, and now he won't be.
Yeah. No matter what happens, he might get a ring tomorrow, but that will not be the case. That wasn't a losing effort.
So. That was a big-time moment. That place was loud at that moment.
That was pretty cool right there now. I will say that was neat.
I will give – who was the announcer? Smoltz. Smoltz literally said right there that Duvall's looking for something outer third that he can drive. And that's exactly what he got. Smoltz was like, yeah.
He drove it. You're still okay.
You're okay. Sure.
You're okay.
Got two shots.
Not
games,
great.
Game sevens are wild.
Look, they were never going to probably win two games in a row with bullpens. I mean, it just was not – that was not set up for the Braves to win that thing in Atlanta. Now, they got some early offense. You had some things, but – so game 6 back in Houston tomorrow night. ESPN reporting Derrick Henry potentially out for the season for the Tennessee Titans. Huge news there. Foot injury during the 34-31 win over the Colts on Sunday. That would change the complexion of the NFL drastically right now in the AFC.
Any word on Winston yet?
The rumors yesterday were ACL, but I don't know that for sure.
It looked bad.
Peyton said in his press conference following the game that it was significant and he felt something.
Oof.
That was the quote that he gave. It's very likely that Simeon or Taysom Hill will start this week for
they go get a quarterback now, right?
It's been a lot of discussion. Nobody's necessarily said either way. I mean, because the rumor yesterday was Cam Newton.
Yeah.
But that does not appear to be the case for the moment. Whether that's the case down the road,
Even dare explore the Deshaun Watson thing?
You know, the Saints are a very highbrow institution. No, we do not. We take character very seriously.
The question would be, is the league going to let him play?
Yeah.
If we bring him in and we say, hey, here's your uniform, we're just going to hold our nose, go play quarterback, is the league going to let us do it?
And I don't know the answer to that. And I don't think they know the answer to that.
Mark, let's not talk about the Chapman pitch to Rajay Davis. Just let that go. It was a bad moment in my house.
Tell you how scarred.
That was 5 years ago tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Phew.
Tell you how scarred I was as the Saints picked off Brady there, is I'm begging the guy, Williams, to fall down. I'm begging him to fall down because if he scores, the Saints miss the extra point, it's still an 8-point game. And that's all that went through my head as that ball got picked was, hey, just fall down and run the clock out right now. Because I've seen – look, I've seen a lot of stuff. Just stop. I mean, we've got a lot of Farmers Insurance vibes in here. Like,
that
just,
was a really good game. There was
– Simeon played okay. Look, he's not going to win playoff games, but he played fine.
No, he did fine.
He's all right.
Yeah.
He's not your typical crap backup. He's okay.
Yeah. No, the question you have –
he's a very average war zero quarterback.
The question you have is – hey, do we think we're a playoff team? Because if we think we're a playoff team, we got to go get us a quarterback. If we don't think we're a playoff team, if we think this is just a collection of parts.
They're 5-2, but they're all – frankly, they're tied for the – they're half game out of the division lead. But they're like – Romero would argue with me because he sent me a text yesterday, and he goes, I swear to God, you or I could quarterback them to 8-8. And I was like, well, I appreciate the company, but I don't know that that's true.
I don't like your chances to get him to 8-8.
Yeah, I like Rose's chances more than mine, but and I don't really like you either.
I don't like Rose either. I mean, there was a day, maybe.
But that day that, is
that,
past.
That is not.
He loves the rest of the roster. And look, the defense played pretty well yesterday for the most part.
Yeah.
They have a running game. Mark Ingram gave him a spark yesterday
at
running back. But to really make any kind of move, they got to have a quarterback.
So who would the other quarterbacks be? If it's not Newton, if it's not Watson, who are the other people that could potentially be on the market?
I don't know that they go that route. I think Peyton is trying to do it with what's in house.
We got to have another quarterback, though, because if something happens to Simeon, now what do you do? Because the other dude's not getting you to the playoffs.
No.
So you got to go get another quarterback.
No, I prefer Simeon to Hill.
Do you go get a Nick Foles or a Andy Dalton to just come in and be a backup?
Would the Eagles get rid of Gardner?
I don't know.
But you're oddly kind of in your window. Like, even if it screws you later, you've got to do something. You got to play the season. You're 5-2.
Well, I mean, if you think you're a playoff team, you got to go get another quarterback.
And they definitely believe they're a playoff team.
Then you got to go get a quarterback. So the question is, do you get a backup to come in and just kind of...
I mean, truth serum, do they think they can win the league? I don't know. But they need to believe they're a quarter. They're
well, they
a
just beat
team.
The Bucks.
Yeah.
I mean, they just beat the Bucks.
Yeah.
So you have to look at it and go, okay, well, who else are we up against? The Rams, the Cardinals? The Packers,
And they've beaten the Packers.
How you know? How do we? What do we do? And so if you think you're a playoff team, and they almost certainly do, you've got to go get a quarterback. And so the question is, do you get an insurance policy at quarterback like a Foles or someone like that, or do you go for it?
Yeah, they have wins over the Bucks and the Packers, and they lost to the Giants right now. The Saints do on their schedule. That's.
The Giants are not a bad team. I've watched them a little. They're not good, but they're not bad. It's like the Jets right now are not a bad team. The truth is, in the NFL, there aren't many bad teams. Detroit says hello.
And Houston.
Houston says hello. But for the most part, teams are good in the NFL.
Dylan told me yesterday, he was listening to the Rams game coming back from Auburn, driving back yesterday, and when I guess it was 24-0, the Texans lined up for a kick, and the Rams broadcast goes, well, the kick is no good, and frankly, neither are the Houston Texans.
It's fair.
And it was like, you know what? That's completely and utterly fair at this point. They are awful.
In a league where there's just not a lot of margin.
And the Rams are good.
The Rams are really good, but the Texans are awful. The Lions are awful. Everybody else is okay. Like, even the Bears lost yesterday, but they're all right. They do some things okay. And they're doing the what you should do with a young quarterback. Hey, let's get it out of the way. Let's do it now. I would be really curious if I were the Saints to get a ruling from the NFL on Deshaun.
We'll see what the Derrick Henry news is. The Saints have they play the Falcons at home on Sunday. They should win that game. But then beyond that, they have a 4-game stretch that's very interesting. They are at Tennessee, at Philadelphia, Buffalo, Dallas.
Ooh.
Over four right there.
Where is Minshew right now?
I thought he was in Philadelphia. Is that not right?
That's who you're referring to.
Yeah, I thought he was in Philadelphia.
Okay.
Is what I thought. I could be wrong because I don't always get that right, but I'm pretty sure. So,
would the Eagles part with him?
I don't know. Yeah, my gut says no, but I don't even necessarily know what I'm basing that off of. So,
No, like someone mentioned Jordan Tamu.
No,
I love Jordan, but that doesn't move
the
needle.
That's not solving the problem.
You either go get a veteran guy who could come in and kind of be an insurance policy, or you go for it.
And I think you have to go for it. I think. I mean, your team's not bad. I think you're 5-2.
When's the deadline for a trade?
That I don't
know. Coming up, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, my gut says you gotta roll. Or whatever that looks like. So, we'll see. Because frankly, the Athletic's talking about the Saints trying to move it, trying to upgrade it wide receiver right now as one of their other moves they're trying to do as well. So they've got tons of stuff going on.
They would enjoy someone who could take the top off of a defense because everything is underneath. Yeah.
Well, and this tells you how bad the Saints are from a what do we do from a standpoint of quarterback. Is Jeff Duncan floated, and I mean, did you at least ask Breeze this morning? I mean, like, and you're like, come on, like he'd done nothing in months, and he was over last year. And I look, he's not going to do it, but I'm just. Like,
I mean, Drew wouldn't do that, would he?
No. So, more NFL tomorrow. Focus on that. Focus on some baseball tomorrow. We'll look around the league. I don't know. We might talk to you tomorrow. Tomorrow, Wednesday. One or the other to go through some of that. Neil wrote a good bit about that in 10 Thoughts as well. So
about Hugh?
Yeah.
Was it fair?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. All good. Appreciate the chatter in the stream as always. Love you guys. Hope you have a wonderful day. Hope you steal all your kids' Christmas, Halloween candy. Take part in that. And I saw in there, you're right. Snickers are not valued by kids the way they were a decade ago. They got passed over a lot last night. Snickers are not a popular candy bar.
Are they crazy?
Kids. I'm just telling you. Something about the palate, I guess. I don't know.
I guess.
That got picked over. But and anyway.
I don't know that I'd be able to resist Snickers in the house. Thank God we don't have candy.
Yeah.
It's all gone.
So hope you have a wonderful day, and we will talk to you again in the morning.